Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I said, if my leaving my home will even save one life of a Jew, I'll go. But it won't. And we said it time after time. And unfortunately, nobody were listening. We were sure the situation in Gaza will be a lot worse. And we said it all along the time. If you're going out, we'll have here Hamastan.
Hey, listeners. It's Mishi. So as you know, during these incredibly difficult days, we're trying to bring you voices we're hearing among and around us. These aren't stories, they're just quick conversations, or postcards really, that try to capture slivers of life right now. In the summer of 2005, the government of Israel unilaterally withdrew from Gaza. The roughly 8,000 residents of the 21 Jewish settlements within the Gaza Strip were forced to leave their homes and their communities. Communities which, for decades, the government had actually encouraged and incentivized them to inhabit. The evacuation, or disengagement, or expulsion, all depends on your political point of view, brought the country to the brink of a civil war. This was especially palpable in the tense relations between the residents of Gush Katif, as the main block of Gaza settlements was known, and their neighbors from the other side of the fence, the largely left-leaning residents of the kibbutzim of Otef Aza, all the same kibbutzim that, 18 years later, suffered most in the Hamas attack of October 7th. Now, former residents of the Gaza settlements, many of whom never stopped dreaming of returning to the sand dunes of the Strip, feel at least partially vindicated. Had their communities not been dismantled back in 2005, they claim, the army would have still been in Gaza, and none of this calamity would have happened. One such voice is that of 63-year-old Datya Yitzhaki, who used to live in the Gush Katif settlement of Kfar Yam. Our producers Adina Karpuch and Mitch Ginsberg went to visit her in her still temporary trailer home on the beach just south of Atlit. You'll also hear Datya's husband Arye chiming in from time to time. Okay, here's Datya.
Can you explain to us a little bit about where we are?
So, the way they evacuated people from Gaza, it was in communities. So we joined a community here. We're the last group of Gush Katif that still has a problem. We didn't build our permanent housing. So here, there's a camp of 16 families that live here already 12 years.
They moved about, 150 kilometers north along the same coast.
Same ocean, the same Arabs.
Should we go inside?
Can you start by introducing yourself?
Okay, my name is Datya Yitzhaki. Born in Kfar Haroe, and I got to Gush Katif in 1984. Kfar Yam, it was houses on the beach that already existed. In the beginning, it was two, basically, families. And we didn't have electricity. We had a generator, and they would basically put on the generator for the news. So between 8 and 9 in the evening, we had electricity. We had water, sometimes not. It was what they call ityashvut bodedim. I don't know.
Lonely.
Not so lonely, but bodedim.
Yeah.
I came there, I was single. And, you know, they told me, what are you coming to Gush Katif here? It's sand and sand and married sand. You'll never find anybody here in Gush Katif. And I was the spokesperson of the municipality, and I met my husband. He's a tour guide. We met on the stairs of the municipality. I came down and he came up. Really, we felt completely free. Grocery we did in Khan Yunis. I learned driving in Rafiah, my driving
instructor.
Yeah, he was from Rafiah. That's why I drive today like that. I have an excuse. So it was a beautiful area, beautiful beaches, you know, swimming pool. And people came. They came for recreation to the Gaza region. You know, my family came to me when they wanted to have a nice weekend or something like that. All of it changed when the Intifada started. But still, you know, everybody saw it as their home. It wasn't a thing that, okay, you know, it's dangerous. We get up and we go. It's your home, so you fight on it. In the second Intifada, there were 6,000 bombs that fell on our communities. Neved Kalim, Netzer Chazani was hit, Atzmona was hit. 6,000. And at the time, also, we didn't know how to deal with it. There was no mamad or shelter or thing like that, you know. So in Neved Kalim, that's bordered with Khan Yunis, really, the line of Khan Yunis is the fence of Neved Kalim. They got all the bombs on them. And like women will tell me that they have to decide at night what child to put underneath the steps, because that's the most safe. So every night they put another child there. It was very hard. But again, you know, it was our home. Nobody thought of leaving. So there are a lot of miracles. We lived from miracle to miracle.
And there was never a moment where you said, is this worth it?
No. We felt that we are Zionists. And we're, you know, it's like today, soldiers are fighting in Gaza and they don't ask, is it worth it? We felt like that. Yeah, it's worth it. It's your home. Arik Sharon, he was living very close. You know, the ranch, Chavat Shikmim, is near Sderot. Many times, problems in Itzarim, you know, security, things like that. The first one to be there was Arik Sharon, to come and help the people, really. And then he would go and said, if Gush Katif wouldn't have been here, we would have to establish it for the security of the state of Israel. Because the only way to control what's happening in the Gaza region and from the border of Egypt is the civilians being here in Gush Katif. Arik Sharon. I saw it in my eyes dozens of times. So we were there because Arik Sharon said it's very important to be there. And then the same power that he had to help and to build, he had to destroy it.
The Israeli parliament approved the disengagement plan.
Israel had no intentions of staying in Gaza and was proceeding with a full withdrawal.
ישראלים המתגוררים זה שנים רבות בחבל עזה שנשלחו לשם בשם ממשלות ישראל.
The disengagement has begun. Thousands of IDF troops and police officers entered Gaza settlements this morning to hand out eviction notices to local residents.
אני יודע היטב, אני שלחתי והייתי שותף למעשה הזה.
Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's unilateral plan of retreating from the Gaza Strip was in contrary to his statements before the elections. Gaza Strip settlers refused to accept that they will be evacuated. They also refused negotiating with the Israeli government.
It was a very, very bad feeling. It was betrayal, because you don't believe that your army is trying to, I don't know, conquer your own house. And you're evacuating citizens that were settled here by the government. you're going against the values of settlement of the land. You're going against values of security.
It's interesting. It seems like your ideology and your conviction never changed. It's just that the public perception of it really changed.
Yeah, suddenly we weren't already Zionists. We were an obstacle for peace. At the last day, we stood on the roof, and we had the children up on the roof. And basically, the army of Israel came to us on the land, on the sea, and in the air for one house. And we still try to convince them that what they're doing is a mistake, and it's a crime against humanity, because it's you know, they're going and uprooting people from their legal house. And in the end of the day, the army of Israel succeeded. So they took us on the bus, and that was also something very, very hard. Because first of all, we went through the Mawasi, our Arab neighbors that were cheering that Israeli army is evacuating Jews. And then we went out of the Gaza region, and our neighbors from the kibbutzim were standing there and cheering because they're taking us out of the Gaza region.
Be'eri, Re'im, Kisufim, Kfar Aza. The kibbutzim shechatfu.
They were like standing on the street on the side just cheering?
Yeah.
Can you describe for us like some of your feelings on October 7th, having had, you know, sort of a tense relationship with them?
I think, first of all, it was a shock, like everybody else. Listen, it was a tense with these kibbutzim, and for more than a year, they were standing every Friday in the junction with signs saying, come back home, leave Gaza, and We have a video with me arguing with one of them, and this guy is now in Gaza, kidnapped. Mm-hmm. So we tried to explain to them, we're now, you know, your bumper. We're there in order to make sure that you be safe. Once we're out, you have a big problem. And, you know, they said, you're an obstacle to peace. We want peace with the Gaza region. We know them. You don't. I know them. I lived there 21 years. Believe me, I know them. I know the good. I know the bad. And they paid the price. I feel very big sorrow, very big pain, double pain, because we knew how it could have been prevented. We said it will happen. And because of that, it hurt so much. We said Hamastan. But the amount, the huge tragedy, nobody could think about it before. It's a disaster, really.
So what does Gaza 2025 look like in your eyes?
So first of all, clean Gaza from terror. Second of all, take all the people out, the Arabs, out of Gaza region and resettle them. Put them in a place of their own. Sinai is open. There's a lot of place there. Take all the money of the world, and I don't care, you know, build them the most beautiful houses there is. And third, build back the communities that's supposed to be there of Jews.
You would be willing to move if the army gave, and the government gave you the green light in a month, in 30 days, they said you can go back to no electricity on the beach. Would you be up for it?
Arik.
So you say in 1 hour you're willing to. One hour.
Okay, and your wife?
Yes, for sure. You know, home is a lot more than an apartment. Home is a place that gives you the feeling of security, of it's something else. And that only was in Kfar Yam.
שרת לי פעם שיר ארז ומתנגן בלב מזכיר דברים שם שם אל מול אותו הים כשהחולות היו לי בית והרוחות לחשו לי שאני לא לבד ואת החזקת לי את היד אמרת בטל השמיים הבטחת שיום יבוא ועוד נשוב לך אמא, אמא, הייתי יכול רק לרפא את הגעגוע הזיכרונות עוד צופים את המוח האהבה לא ניצחה גם לא הרוח אמא, אמא, הייתי יכול רק להמילך ולא לברוח הלב נבגד הוא לא נותן לי לרתוח רק הניגון עוד נותן את הכוח ושוב אותו ניגון בכל שנה בקיץ בחממות גדלים פרחים כתומים כמו אז גם הילדים ברחו לאט כמעט כולם הקימו בית רק השמות של החובות זוכרים מה שנגנז זוכרת שרנו מול היכל אם אשכחך ירושלים צעקנו יום יבוא ועוד נשוב לך אם הייתי יכול רק לרפא את הגעגוע הזיכרונות עוד צופים את המוח האהבה לא ניצחה גם לא הרוח אם הייתי יכול רק להמילך ולא לברוח הלב נפגד הוא לא נותן לי למתוח רק הניגון עוד נותן את הכל נשוב לשם עוד נשוב אמא עוד נשוב עוד נשוב לשם עוד נשוב לשם עוד נשוב אמא עוד נשוב אמא אמא הייתי יכול רק
אם המבצע מסתיים, אני לוקח סירה שיש לי ואני מפליג עם דתיה בליווי של חיל הים לכפר ים. נוחת על כפר ים.
As soon as the operation is over, you're saying you're going to load your children and your wife Datia up onto it and sail south onto your boat all the way to the doorstep of your old home. כפר ים.
כן, כן, כן.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.